Well, just 6 more days to go to the biggest radio event in the natural world, the Dawn Chorus.
Listen to the birds sing.
This has got to be one of the most magical experiences in nature. A multitude of birds of many different species all singing together in harmony.
Join the Dawn Chorus in the wee hours of Sunday the 5th of May on RTE Radio 1 and the RTE Radio app.
Yes, the annual broadcast of the Dawn Chorus here on RTE Radio 1 and RTE Lyric FM. When did we first come on air with Mooney Goes Wild, Aina? Do you remember?
We came on air with Mooney Goes Wild in 1995 and we copped on to the Dawn Chorus fairly quickly after that, so I imagine...
It was there before us. We can't claim credit for that.
No, we copped on that would make great radio, and boy has it made great radio.
Boy has it made great radio. Yeah, so next Sunday morning, from midnight just on Saturday, if you know what I mean, to 7 a.m, we'll be live from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve and Cove, from the East Coast Nature Reserve in Wicklow, both Birdwatch Ireland nature reserves, bringing the world the sound of early morning birdsong. Now, Andy, you're doing a whole heap of talks, Dawn Chorus walks and everything over the weekend, aren't you? Apart from being with us.
You got a good idea, milk it to death. I'm down in Altamont Gardens on the 1st of May, which is this Wednesday. I'll be there at 4:30 and the birds will be singing. And then we're doing the official Dawn Chorus, and I'd be out in Birdwatch Reserve out in the East Coast. And then the following morning I shall be in Herbert Park at 4:30 in Dublin for Dublin City Council. They run an event as well. I should know some Dawn birds by that stage, I would hope.
I hope so. Richard, you're in Malahide now, but where will you be on the morning of the Dawn Chorus?
I will be here in Malahide, Derek. And it's interesting because I live right beside an estuary on one side, an open sea to the right, and then I have farmland in front of me. Well, it used to be farmland, it's parkland now. So I guess the songbirds, the sort of things we have in our gardens, but I'd be listening out for things like whimbrel if they were to, the maybird would pass by, the seven whistles. And you'd hear some waders, you'd hear lots of things. The geese have gone. They had a lovely chirking sound. There were some there up to last week, but they've all gone now. I saw a huge skein of them going up the coast the other day, hundreds of them. It was a bit sad to see them go all the way. They're heading up to the Arctic. It's a long, 6,000 kilometres. But they will be back, most of them, in the autumn, I hope.
Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll have a good chorus from where you are. Another man who has one foot in the world of birds and the other foot in the world of broadcasting, and who will be with us for the Dawn Chorus, is Daniel Jenkins-Jones. He's been with us for God knows how many years. He's probably forgotten himself. Our colleagues at the BBC from Wales. Daniel, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. So where will you be on the night for the Dawn Chorus?
Well, we're going to take you back to somewhere where we broadcast the Dawn Chorus from, two or three years ago at Newport Wetlands National Nature Reserve. It's a fantastic nature reserve. For people who don't know exactly where it is, think of the Severn Estuary. It's tucked in between the city of Newport and the Severn Estuary. And it's part of a really fantastic area for wildlife. The Gwent Levels, it's made up of kind of low-lying habitats, wet grassland, reed beds, salt marsh, saline lagoons. So with a little bit of luck, we'll get birds from a really nice diversity of species there.
But anything we should be listening out for in particular?
Well, we had a really good year when we were there last. The weather was fantastic and we had a curlew singing on the foreshore. So this year we're going to try and get the microphones more over in that direction so we can pick up birds like the curlew. I was there a couple of weeks ago and there was a bittern booming. The nest is just behind where we're going to be broadcasting. So if the male is awake and is up for it, hopefully we might be able to pick up a bittern booming.
That sound of the bittern is unlike any other bird. Boom.
Oh, boom.
Richard, you brought me to hear my first bittern. I think it was in London many years ago.
In the London Wetlands Centre, yes. I thought wonderful sound. Carries about 5 kilometres. Ledwich's famous poem, "He shall not hear the bittern cry in the wild sky where he has lain." But I don't think he's altogether accurate there. The boom isn't a wild cry at all, but it's a most interesting sound, a most evocative sound. I wish they would come across the sea from Wales. Will you have a word with your fellow over there, Daniel, and encourage him to come this way, because we'd love to have the bittern back.
Well, we'd love to have enough so that we can export some to you, because I think that's what's happened to us. The RSPB's got a fantastic reserve on the Somerset Levels and they're doing so, so well there. that I think they've just run out of space. So they've flown across the Severn estuary towards us. And as I said, they started breeding there. I think it was about 2018. I think they bred for the first time in Newport Wetlands. So we'll see what we can do. I'll try my best.
Well, we did have him once. He was on Bun on Bwee. On Bun on Bwee, Shima Lane the Lee, and the poor old Bun on Bwee died from the lack of drink, whereas the poet was dying from too much drink. That was the skit of the poem written by Cathal Bwee McGillagunna. So we had bitterns. Our habitat changed, land use changed, and the bittern became extinct here. But maybe if he can fly across to Severn, maybe sure he might fly across all the way to Ireland if he's feeling hard up for space. He'd take Cade Mila Polcherum, Arain Nostan, Mirkshade Chalk. So we'd have a great welcome for him if he were to come, all right. We're much more civilised towards visiting birds that were here once.
Well, anyway, we look forward to Daniel talking to you in the early hours of Sunday morning. And you're not going to be alone.
No, I'm not. I'm going to be joined once again by Tara O'Conn. She's an ecologist, a naturalist, and a fine artist as well. So she's going to be joining me again. And she used to work at Newport Wetlands, so that's ideal. She knows the ins and outs, all the little corners where the birds might be hanging out. And just thanks again for the invite. It's the most eagerly invited email in my inbox every year, is the invite to come and join you on this broadcast every year. And thank you very much, Diolch yn fawr iawn, for the invitation again this year.
Oh, you're very welcome, Daniel. So that's Daniel Jenkins-Jones, and we'll be speaking with him during the live broadcast of the Dawn Chorus in the early hours of a Sunday morning. We'll be travelling all over the country, needless to say, and one of our favourite places to stop off is Donegal, particularly the islands, the island of Inishbofin. I always thought Inishbofin was somewhere else, but there's Inishbofin in Donegal as well, Aina.
There are two Inishbofins. The Inishbofin that people live on is off the coast of Galway, Inish na Bó Finne, the blonde cow, the pale cow. But there's an Inishbofin between Torry Island and Maharavorty off the north coast of Donegal. And if you go out from Maharavorty on the way out to Torry, you actually pass Inishbofin. And people lived there a long time ago, and they still maintain their land holdings. They still maybe have buildings that they can overnight or whatever in, and the farmers there will bring their animals out to graze on those islands during this, on Inishbofin during the summer. So, you know, it's all part of the Gaeltacht, it's all part of the still living language there, and the corncrake, I'm sure, when it gets to these parts of Donegal, cracks away in Irish as Gaeilge. So there'll be plenty of them on both on Torry and indeed on Inishbofin. So it's somebody who did live in Boffin, who still goes back there in the summertime with his animals, a man called Eugene Ferry. We're hoping to be a kinch lesh Aaron Bumminchen Uratoshi, a kinch fiend Twainock, and hopefully the corncrake will be calling at night. And we'll have something to talk about in the dark hours before the other birds wake up.
Before the other birds wake up, yes. So earlier you spoke with Yona Ugar Teburo. Now, I hope I've pronounced that name correctly. And if I haven't, Yona, please forgive me.
Hi, Anna. This is Yona Ugar Teburo, and I work with Corncrake Life.
Hello, Yona. Nice to talk to you today. So you're the field officer now for Corncrake Life. Now, what does a field officer actually do? Just lay it out for us, listening to you here at your enviable job.
Yeah, I'd say that not many people would know what it entails, but I mainly work in County Donegal. We work mainly on the north and west coast. So we cover areas like Malin Head and Fannet and all the west side, including the islands. So basically, I mainly focus on maintaining habitat and creating new habitat. So when working in concrete conservation, basically that translates into creating early and late cover, so that there's some cover for these birds whenever they arrive and they're leaving. But I would also be trying to help farmers in the community improve the grassland habitats for the concretes as well.
Where are you going to be now for the Dawn Chorus?
We're planning actually to go to Inishbofin Islands. Now, Inishbofin in Donegal, it's much smaller island, but very, very important island. And it's quite close to mainland. It's only 3 kilometres away, and it's actually connected to mainland twice a year. It's a very important island. It's only around 300 acres big, but it has a big amount of concrakes breeding. We have around, last year we had around 31 calling males, And I can assure that they're already calling corncrakes there as I was out there last week.
Inishbofin is just off Mahara Rorty, which is in the heart of the Donegal Gaeltacht. How is your Irish? Are you from a part of the world where Irish is spoken?
Yeah, I can talk in Irish, all right. It's an important part of this area of the country for sure. You can experience the land and the community in a completely different manner and a lot deeper. Obviously, I wasn't born and brought up in Ireland.
Where were you born and brought up?
In the Basque Country, north of Spain, actually.
And the Basque language is quite different.
I moved to Ireland quite a few years back, and it was actually whenever I moved to Ireland that I decided to start learning Irish, because I thought if I live in Ireland, I should speak Irish.
Tashin go brayer fad. So betu a muir inish baf an ihin jisarinsha hugging agus betu a kanchling fuin trainach.
Bev, I'm a cancer fuin trainach an chin agus le ketu je be denyas enyas vo fenyan chin lin fosta. Agus vishy apple ta nis mo all as a cur fal dif fosta mar is as an elane agus ve nis mo all as a ge well er hatu rona treni agus better kids than is kelti ta augusti an elan agus gaherit an kangal zita eder an tren agus an fobal hain an shin mar lesa nirin yra nilis kel more difa Keg will at milchin a tavatach at hand and trainach, ach ein masada normal tata is the in Ellen, I guess, tassir in a honey lofa, nilake the kids in a dinion and raw, nyado could chiras chirak baldoras, than chak sokus and I guess, near jarn she tiskel mordo. So shin into simul and doi. Hik le San Jarko no and don of a homeland difrul Urawana to Stian Elan. I will grahok go homeland difrul at on Pobble ain't in the larger and Changa Duhasa a Kenyan dingy nis Kangal Chetan Tulra accent arch attached.
So Sulagum Gome Ahden a gaystock. You really picked up the Donegal accent and all of the words. That it's absolutely fantastic. So as you point out there, in fact, you know, the whole concept of the language, of the birds that were there before, of the way that the people behave, and we will be speaking to Eugene later on, you know, when we're talking about this again. But it's great that you're here and that the corncrakes are here and that you're getting on so well with everybody that you could teach them how to speak Irish. Chas kainchlat, Yone, ta mila buyakas.
Goramayov.
So that was Yona Ugar Teburu speaking with Aina earlier. When you're looking at me, Aina, yeah, go on.
Well, I have to say one thing. Your Basque is nothing like her Irish. Your Basque is, mine is probably not any better either. Indeed.
Fantastic, I have to say.
It's great to hear somebody speak in Irish. I'm so pleased with it.
I know, I'm actually embarrassed, I will admit, because I don't speak Irish myself, but it is terrific. Anyway, Aina, I meant to compliment you on your wonderful coat with the leopard print. It's extraordinary.
Well, it's only a cloth coat with just an old pattern in it for Marks and Sparks.
Gorgeous.
Oh, well, how would you know, Derek? What taste have you got? If you like the coat, I'm never wearing it again.
Oh, no. Anyway, we'll put a picture of you in the coat on the website so people can see rte.ie/menu. I hope it wasn't a real leopard that suffered to give you that coat. Anyway, Annie, you're going to be at the East Coast Nature Reserve during the Dawn Chorus, correct? With?
I'm going to be there with Eric and I'm going to be there with Terry. And we'll have a great time. We might even talk about birds the odd time as well.